What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Closing the Deal. I am your host, Sam Enright, and sitting across from me is my co-host, Zach Dixon. Zach, what is going on today, brother? How are you?
Fantastic. As bright and bubbly as the sun shining outside the first day that we've seen it in the last week or so. Feeling great. Feeling great.
Yeah, it's been nice to get away from the rain. I feel like it's rained for like a week straight. So it's not like one of those rains where it's like, you know, off and on. Like, it literally rained for probably like 24 straight hours of just a steady drizzle, which is just insane. Like, I don't understand how I can do that. But
yeah, on Saturday, our first Friends Tour event got canceled, unfortunately, and literally probably for the best, though, because it just genuinely did not stop raining the entire day. Like, from the moment that I woke up until the moment that I went to bed, it was raining the entire time. Yeah. Not even like harder sometimes, lighter sometimes. It was just the same exact rain all day long.
It was literally just constant. I mean, it was, yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it wasn't too bad, but I have to imagine by like the time that we would have made the turn on the back nine, it probably would have been pretty sloppy out there, like just overly wet and
miserable.
It probably would have been cart path only, which is just our favorite news in the world. And on that golf course, like, we were hiking to our balls if that was the case. So obviously, definitely for the best. I mean, we hung on to the tee time until the morning of, and I woke up and I'm like, yeah, there's just no way. Like, you know, the night before showed some promise. It looked like there was going to be a little bit of a break. And I know it's always weird here because like some days it'll say it's going to rain and then it'll just keep backing up hour by hour until you get to the end of the day. And it's like, oh, it's supposed to rain for 5 hours and now it's pushed back 5 hours, but that did not happen. So, very unfortunate.
The meteorologists, the meteorologists were right for the one time.
But yeah, I mean, the meteorologists were correct. I mean, I guess when it's forecasting 95% chance of rain 3 days in a row, you got to believe at some point that that's going to be pretty accurate. You know, obviously when it's like 55, 65, 45, when it's those type of days, you just get real spotty stuff, I feel like. But I'm just glad to see some sunshine.
And going forward, too. I mean, I think we have a day of rain in the forecast over the next 10 to 15, but nothing after that or nothing during that, really. So I think we might have turned a corner. We might still have a little bit more here as we move into the end of May, but summertime is fast approaching, and that is 100% the best season here in Central Ohio for sure.
Yep, I agree. Well, brother, what do we got on tap today? What are we talking about?
We are talking about how loan types affect your offer. So for those of you that don't know or are unfamiliar, when you're doing financing, there are some different types of loans, loan programs that you have out there. So the options that you can get for your financing can be different for sure, just depending on your own situation. So we're going to talk about those different types and kind of the differences and how they affect you and your offer specifically.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I don't want to, you know, ultimately this is, you know, how they affect the offer. I mean, the amount of ways that we could get into the weeds of these different programs is crazy, because obviously there's just a lot of nuance to each of them. But I'm going to try to keep it kind of along that same border of just, you know, what about the program actually impacts how you offer on houses or how you qualify and those sort of things. So for those that don't know, there are four main traditional types of loan products out there. You have conventional loans, and then you have your government-backed loans, which are FHA, VA, and USDA. And then there's another area of loans, which is called non-QM. And so these are things that don't necessarily meet qualified mortgages like conventional in the government. Things like if you need to do bank statement loans, you know, because your income is, you know, from your tax returns is not working, or if you're looking for like a DSCR loan, you know, for an investment property, just different things. There's a whole list of all different types of non-QM products out there. But that's what those, you know, fall into, is if you can't meet traditional guidelines for financing, then we would look into a non-QM route for you.
Nice. And all in all, what do you think how do you think your offers when you're having clients, how do you think those kind of split up between those loan types? Do you think you see most conventional? Do you think you see a lot of government, non-QM?
Yeah. So, I mean, it honestly, so I have had the unique perspective of working for both my dad and my uncle, and they both work in separate areas of Ohio, different counties. And so inside of those counties, you know, there are, you know, just like if you buy in Columbus, it's not the same thing as buying in Guernsey County. You know what I'm saying? The population is a lot higher in Columbus. And so, you know, that's usually going to drive demand up, which is going to drive home prices up, which is going to make the market a little bit more competitive than getting outside of those limits into smaller population areas where, you know, there is not as much competition because obviously, you know, you live an hour away or hour and a half away from these major metropolitan areas. And so, you know, with each of that, I think it's kind of changed over the years that I've worked with different with each of the different loan officers in our company. And so, you know, where my dad mainly works is going to be a little bit more rural areas. It's going to be a little bit less populated. And so, you know, he does a lot more government-based loans. You know, where my uncle works and where we primarily work with clients now is, you know, kind of in Fairfield County as well as Franklin County. And so we see a lot more conventional because of the area that we work in. And so I think a large part of it is ultimately going to be, you know, where are you buying? That's going to be the biggest thing first and foremost is what kind of loan types, because, you know, for USDA specifically, like that is a rural based loan program. You are not going to be able to buy a property inside of Columbus using USDA financing. In order to finance with them, you're going to be on the outskirts of these major metropolitan areas. And so that automatically is going to change for certain clients. If you're like, I'm not moving from Columbus, like I'm going to live there, then, you know, USDA right out the bat is just not going to be an option for you. So, I mean, I would say, honestly, the more you get into the major cities, you're going to see a lot more conventional, a lot more FHA. If you start getting out a little bit further, you're going to see more government-based loan products, typically a lot less conventional.
Awesome. Great info for sure. I think that kind of takes us into our next part of the episode as well, and just kind of how loan types affect your offer kind of from the seller's perspective. And kind of like you touched on there, in a seller's perspective, you know, conventional is usually going to be your least path of resistance to getting the deal completed from the seller's perspective. So when you're looking from that seller's perspective and in a seller's market, conventional is usually going to be the one that those sellers are going to be favoring, going to be, you know, accepting those offers more than likely over FHA if all other terms are the same: FHA, USDA, government-based loans. And just for the reason for that is there's a little bit more, I would say qualification maybe is the right word, that has to go into government-based loans with the property itself. So the appraiser for the FHA or the USDA, those are going to be a little bit different than what the appraiser is going to be doing for a conventional loan. And I'll let Sam touch on this a little bit further in depth too. But an FHA or a government-based appraiser is going to be looking at some of the things that a conventional one is not going to be looking at, you know, GFCI outlets near water sinks, you know, peeling paint in throughout the house. Those are all things that need to be completed to have the property sold with a government-based loan, and things that aren't necessarily a factor when clients are going conventional. So from a seller's perspective, those are types of things that can kind of pop up and make the deal go a little bit longer, or maybe not even close the deal itself, just depending on the parties at hand. And so generally speaking, with all other terms the same, sellers are going to be preferring, you know, that conventional financing over a government-based loan. But doesn't mean a government-based loan is awful or bad or any means, you know what I mean? It's all just based on, you know, your own personal situation and kind of the terms that you write your offer with past just your financing as a whole. So all in all, generally speaking, conventional is probably the one that sellers, you know, favor the most.
Yeah. And I mean, that's pretty, you know, on point with kind of what we see, you know, when we're going and working with our buyers. And so I know, you know, there's certain properties and certain, you know, sellers that say, you know, we only want to accept conventional or cash, and they won't even list, you know, government-based products on their, you know, accepted offer list. And a lot of the times, you know, what we'll see for that is, you know, I'm sure, you know, you obviously see it more than I do, but, you know, if they want to sell it as is, they don't want to, you know, make any repairs or don't want to have to deal with anything. So, you know, two of the biggest things that I see from a you know, from a perspective of when it comes to loans and conventional specifically, and you know, you already touched on it, is definitely the appraisal. That's usually the main thing that you'll hear from sellers and listing agents is, hey, can they go conventional? Because, you know, we don't want to have to deal with, you know, the GFCI outlets or the handrails being added or, you know, the chips and peeling paint or whatever the case may be. And conventional is going to be a little bit more lenient on their appraisal restrictions than what the government-based loan products are going to be. So that's one of them. The other thing is also, you know, for a conventional loan, you typically need, in order to qualify conventional, you're usually going to have to be a higher level borrower than what you would be for government. Government's a little bit more lenient when it comes to credit scores, when it comes to, you know, I guess maybe debt to income ratios a little bit. You know, FHA is one of the higher in loan products when it comes to debt to income ratios. And so, you know, conventional, they have a little bit stricter guidelines when it comes to qualifying buyers. And so I think that can ultimately play a role as well. I mean, I know if you look it up, they'll tell you, you know, you can go as low as 620 conventional. It's very, very rare that we see that. Typically, most conventional buyers are into the 700s and up range. And so I think another factor that goes in is maybe a little bit less risk for the seller. You know, when they look at, okay, this is a conventional offer and they're pre-approved through a lender, there's a good, you know, there's a good chance that they're a pretty solid buyer. Not to say again that you're not solid if you go with government programs, but again, there just are a little bit tighter restrictions on conventional loans that, you know, typically you're going to have better credit scores, better income, better debt to income ratios, higher down payment amounts, those sort of things in order to qualify conventional. And so I think that that's another factor that plays a role when sellers are looking at it from a conventional standpoint and, you know, having that offer written for them.
100%. I would definitely agree with that. And I don't, maybe not at the forefront of their minds, but they're definitely, I think that's just, you know, something that is just apparent, you know, all in all, you know, to the seller. So, moving on, how do some of the loan types, you know, stack up from the buyer's perspective, you know, between, you know, down payment requirements, different interest rates, concession requirements, how do those loan types kind of stack up from a buyer's perspective?
Yeah. And so, this is a pretty loaded question because ultimately, you know, I know we're saying conventional is kind of that premier, you know, loan program, but again, not everybody's going to fit into that mold. And so what are the differences? What do they look like? You know, down payments are going to be pretty standard across the board. You know, if you're a first-time home buyer, if you have, meaning you haven't owned a home in the last 3 years, you will qualify, you can qualify for as low as 3% down with conventional, and FHA's minimum down payment is 3.5% across the board. So very similar down payment requirements wise. USDA is a zero down loan. So no down payment there. And then VA, again, zero down if you're a veteran, or you don't have to put a down payment down if you choose not to. So, you know, we're always going to go with our buyer and say, hey, you know, what does your situation look like? Every buyer's situation is a little bit different. Some have money that they've been saving up for several months or years, you know, ready to buy a home. Others need, you know, down payment assistance programs. Others need zero down loans, or, you know, maybe they only have a certain amount of money just for their down payment itself. So it's all going to be tailored to the buyer specifically. What we're going to explore all options for you and look and say, hey, what, you know, fits your bill? What are you looking to do? You know, in interest rates, you know, they're going to vary. Government loans do typically have lower interest rates than what conventional loans do. That's pretty standard across the board. So usually, you know, anywhere between maybe 0.25% to 0.5% conventional is going to be worse. Again, there's a lot of factors that go into interest rates, credit score, loan to value, debt to income ratios. And so it's not a one size fits all. It's not if you just go conventional that you're just going to have this interest rate, or if you go FHA, you're going to have this interest rate. You know, there's a lot of other factors that are looked at. And then seller concession requirements. The government loans do allow, if you guys have listened to our, you know, seller concessions podcast, if you haven't, you know, I would suggest going back and looking or listening to that, because obviously we go over seller concessions a lot more in depth and really break down, you know, each program and what their offers are. But the government programs do allow for higher seller concessions than what conventional does if you're in that lower down payment area. If you're putting a higher down payment down, they will allow for, you know, higher seller concessions. But you know, loan types are really going to be dependent on you, the person, the buyer. What do you need? What's going to fit the mold for you best to put you in the best, you know, best scenario for yourself? And so from there, you know, if you can't qualify for conventional, the reality is that may knock some properties out there that are on the market off of your list. You know, there's some sellers that are just not going to be willing to hear any offers that are not conventional or cash because they're dead set on, we don't want to mess around with repairs or anything that goes along with that. And so that's just kind of a reality of the business, unfortunately. But, you know, if conventional or going after that's something you really want, you know, we obviously can work on, you know, those steps to getting you there. But that's kind of the buyer perspective. It's really going to be tailored towards you specifically and your needs, making sure that those are being met.
Definitely. And I think that there's a little bit of a myth, you know, just going backwards, that home buying is a little bit more difficult, or you have to be kind of overqualified to buy a home. And that just isn't really the case anymore. There are so many different options to buy a home. Like, you can, there are so many different things that you can do, so many different types, so many different things that can be worked on your side of things to make you qualify for some different things. So it's just, there's a lot of different options all in all. And as a buyer, you are the number one, you know, you can kind of dictate just to, based on yeah. the things that you got going on, you know, your credit score and all those things that obviously can be improved, can be worked on. And so it's just, you know, kind of busts a myth, in my opinion, a little bit of it's difficult to buy a home all in all. It's not, yeah. it's not, it can be done for sure.
No. And I mean, there's so many options out there. I mean, I already mentioned it. There are down payment assistance programs. If you don't have your down payment saved up, that could be an option for you. You know, there are, if you want to move out, we talk to people all the time that say, hey, we want to live as far away from the city as possible. Like, we're fine, we're rural. And, you know, if they don't have down payment money, they could qualify for USDA. You know, and there's just so many different, ways to go about it. It's just, you know, ultimately, it boils down to something we talked about a lot, and that's expectations. You know, once you talk with your lender, you just have to understand the proper expectations. Just kind of like how I said, there are going to be certain, you know, loans or properties on the market where they're not listening for anything other than conventional offers. You just have to be okay with that. That doesn't mean you can't buy a house. That doesn't mean there's not a house out there for you, anything like that. It just means you're going to have to spend maybe a little bit more time searching than somebody who, you know, is qualified for conventional and, you know, can offer on whatever house they want. That doesn't, just because you're in a government-based program does not mean that your offer should not be taken seriously. Does not mean it's not a good offer. FHA is a great loan program. You know, USDA is an amazing loan program, especially if you're like somebody who wants down payment assistance, but doesn't want the strings attached that come with down payment assistance, and you're willing to live a little bit out. USDA is amazing. There are no strings attached. You get great interest rates, just like the rest of the government, you know, based loan programs. You know, it's not like you're borrowing money for your down payment. It's truly a zero down loan. There is no down payment requirement. So, plenty of financing options out there.
For sure. For sure. So moving on, I touched on the appraisal stuff a little bit earlier, just between conventional and government-based loan types. But is there anything else that you would want to add on that front in terms of, you know, requirements for the appraisal, how they're done, anything done differently between the types? Anything that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of a different perspective from this as a lender, just because I think sometimes sellers and listing agents get kind of all out of whack about this whole like conventional, we need conventional thing. Like, FHA is not that serious. Like, there are some things like just general basic items, but, you know, people think that conventional is just like this free for all, to where like if you have a conventional offer, you're never going to have any issues with an appraisal. Like, we'll waive gutted walls or whatever. Like, that's not the reality of the situation. Like, the home still has to be livable. It still has to have good bones. If there's anything that the appraiser goes out and notices when he's out there, like, you know, if your water tank is leaking, like, he's going to make a mention of that in an appraisal, whether that's FHA or conventional. And when our underwriters see that, they're going to say, hey, you know, it's likely we need to get somebody out there to check this, you know, what's going on with this. And so, you know, we've had people where, you know, we've had water in the basement on a conventional loan where people have gone out and reviewed the property, and, you know, the appraisal may not be marked as is, but, you know, our underwriters see that there's sitting water in a basement. They're going to have some questions. Is the structure okay? You know, is the foundation all right? Are there leaks? Do we need to get, you know, and so they, you know, they're going to condition for us to get somebody out there. So I think ultimately there is a lot of, I guess, misunderstanding when it comes to that sort of thing. And so, you know, we do try to lobby for our clients, you know, when it comes to that, because oftentimes, you know, if it is a really rougher, if it is a rougher house and you really truly do need conventional bus, sometimes we'll look at these houses and we'll be like, dude, this could go FHA. Like, it's not, you guys are making a bigger deal out of this than it needs to be. Like, it's, there's not really going to be that many things. You know, Zach already kind of touched on some common things, you know, GFCI outlets near water sources, handrails on any steps three or more that don't have them, you know, is going to be required, you know, chipped and peeling paint is probably the one that's the most annoying for people. Because, you know, you're going to have to like power wash it, sand it down, and then repaint it and all that. So that one can be a little bit of a nuisance. But for the most part, you know, it's usually not anything that bad. You know, and if it's a really beat up house, like, again, just because you have a conventional offer does not mean that everybody's just going to turn a blind eye to whatever's going on. Because the way that I like to always explain is, the bank wants to protect their investment, and not only do they want to protect their investment, they want to protect your investment as well. And so if there's some real safety features of this home that are eye-popping to them on the appraisal report, they're going to call it out no matter what the loan program is. And so, you know, sometimes I think that can be a little bit of a misunderstood thing when it comes to sellers, listing agents, agents in general, is just like, you know, it's not a free for all to where it's just, okay, yeah, whatever, we'll let it go. And it's going to be fine just because it's conventional. So that would be my only part, you know, on the appraisal, I think, you know, is just that.
That's where I was about to go, honestly, with it too, because ultimately you are still financing this property. This, whoever your lender is lending you $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, et cetera, dollars. You know what I mean? Like, that is a large sum of money. They don't want to just be walking into a water heater leaking and now the entire first floor is flooded and now their investment is gone, or they have to put $20,000 into it to make sure that their investment is still intact. And that also goes also on the price side of things as well, not just necessarily conventional FHA or USDA appraisals, but the appraiser's out there for a reason, to protect, you know, the bank's interest, the lender's interest, to make sure that this property that they're lending on is worth what they're lending. So again, you're still financing the property. You're still borrowing a large sum of money. So regardless of your loan type, those are still going to be, you know, the kind of bottom, you know, supporting tiers. You can't do those things without having a good solid property. So,
yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, it's like, you know, the appraiser is our eyes on the ground. Nobody from our company or any mortgage company is going to go out and view the property and say, hey, we should not be financing this. We're going to trust the professional who's a third party, not associated with the property, anybody with it, and trust them to go out and say, hey, here's what I observed. And then we make a decision based on those observations. So yeah, if you had a heavy rainfall day right before the appraiser is about to go out and the basement notoriously, you know, leaks a little bit of water when there's heavy rainfall, because there are those moments, like, no matter if you're FHA or conventional, if there's pictures of water in a basement, it's going to get called out. Like, it's not just going to be turned a blind eye to, because again, what if there's a major structure issue and now you moved in the house and 2 months later you have $30,000 worth of structure that, you know, your foundation that you have to fix? Are you going to fork out that money? Maybe, maybe not. And if you don't, then what? Are you going to walk away from the property and then you're just going to leave the bank with, you know, without paying your mortgage and all of that? Like, we've talked about this on another episode. The, you know, banks are not in the business of real estate. They don't want to take your house. They don't want to have to resell it. They don't want to have to do any of that. Their goal is to lend you the money and collect on the interest over the life of you having that loan. That's what they're in the business of doing. And so, you know, they're going to protect their interest in that and make sure that that's, you know, going to happen.
100%, brother. 100%. Couldn't agree more.
Next part, just wanted to touch on a little bit, is just kind of closing timeline. You know, what does that look like? You know, usually with conventional, I'll be honest, sometimes it can be a little bit faster, but, you know, we've had other, you know, loans that are done relatively fast as well. We've had government loans that take 2 to 3 weeks. We've had conventional loans that take 2 to 3 weeks. I would say more often than not, conventional, yes, is going to be a little bit faster than your government-based loans. The reason for that, obviously, is because, again, you know, you do typically see a lot less things come back on appraisals for conventional, so you're not having to do repairs, send the appraiser back out to the property, review that. That obviously can cause a little bit of a delay. You know, other things are just, you know, when it comes to closing timeline, my biggest thing is it really boils down to the borrower, in my opinion. You know, you obviously need a really fast title company. You need fast search times. You need a fast, you know, title work to come back. You need a fast appraisal. But, you know, a lot of borrowers out there, you know, we've worked with a mixed bag of them. Some of them will drag their feet and it'll take 5-6 days for them to get documents in that we requested. You're not going to close in 2 to 3 weeks if that's the route that you go. We have other clients who I ask for a document and it's in within an hour, you know, and so those type of clients are always going to expedite their timeline a lot faster than a client who drags their feet. And maybe it's not always drag their feet, but if you're busy, if you work long hours and you can't get around to that stuff, in my opinion, I would just go ahead and just understand that likely your timeline is going to take a little bit longer than somebody who has instantaneous access to their documents, can jump on it right away and can get that stuff in relatively quickly. Because from what I've seen, it's not necessarily the loan types that make how fast the transaction is going to go. Usually it's going to stop with the borrower. How much paperwork do we need for them, for one? And for two, how quickly are they getting that paperwork in? Are we sitting and having conversations and arguments about why the documentation is being requested? I know you guys probably think, you know, who would do that, but we have that all the time. Like, clients get annoyed and angry with us and, you know, start fighting us on documentation. And it's like, hey, we're here to help ultimately. Like, I don't write the rules and the guidelines for the loans. We just abide by them. In order to do business, we abide by the rules set forth. Like, I'm just asking you what's been put in place years and years before I ever came along in this business. So I mean, that's the biggest thing. But yes, you know, to answer the question on loan types, conventional can be faster. But again, I think it boils down to the borrower themselves, how fast they're willing to work, how quickly they can get documentation in.
What do you think was your quickest conventional loan closed and your quickest FHA loan closed in your career?
Well, you know, it depends. So, I mean, we've had situations where, you know, we've actually had a couple where a lender's dropped the ball on something and we've gotten calls from agents and, you know, I mean, we've turned FHA loans in 7 days before, but the appraisal was already done. Title work's already done. So it's just basically we're waiting the natural, you know, there's disclosure process. There's laws put in place that once we disclose, we have to wait a certain number of days before we can actually close. You have to sign a rate lock agreement and a CD, a pre-CD before we can close as well. So, you know, we've had situations like that, but I mean, truly with getting it brand new without, you know, the appraisal already being done, without the title work already being done. I mean, I would say the fastest one, we had one the other day that we had done in, well, a conventional loan that we had done in like 12 business days. So like, you know, obviously 2 weeks and 2 weeks and 2 days, basically, you know, not working on weekends, not doing anything. I would say probably the fastest is, I don't know, like 10 days. And I would say FHA is probably not far behind, probably somewhere in the 15 to 17 day range. If you're not including, obviously, the ones that just everything was already done. Those are, when you're not waiting on appraisal and not waiting on title work, that's going to save you some time. I mean, typically an appraisal is going to take at least 7 days to come back to us.
For sure. For sure. That's awesome, because that kind of takes me into my next part of the episode. And that's just kind of strengthening your offer between specific loan types as a whole. Honestly, the way to strengthen your offer, the first two that I will recommend, number one, obviously, is going to be price and then closing date. And so that goes without saying between any loan type across any of the platforms, whether it's conventional, FHA, USDA, non-QM, whatever it is. Sellers, number one, first and foremost, are going to be looking at price and closing dates to be, you know, in their contract that they're accepting. They want to make sure that they're getting the number that they're imagining in their head and that they're selling it on the date that they imagine selling it. So between conventional, FHA, whatever loan type that you're using, I'm always going to recommend those two first. And so depending on if you're in a situation where we're in a seller's market and we're, you know, in a bidding war and have a couple of different offers already, that's when we're going to start getting into the nitty gritty a little bit. If you are maybe a government based loan type borrower, to where we're going to maybe up the price a little bit. If you can afford it, you know, if you feel comfortable, we're going to, number one, going to up the price a little bit. And then we're going to try to work on a closing date that works for, you know, obviously you as the buyer and you, your lender as well as the buyer. And so those are going to be the first two things. And then, you know, can go on to different things like concessions and those types of things to kind of even out the things that you're giving up as a buyer and get those back on the back end and maybe even out those price increases that we had as well. And so all in all, it really just those are the two things that sellers are going to be looking for first and foremost, price and closing dates. So all in all, if you're able to turn an FHA loan in 15 days, obviously you don't really know that when you're writing the offer, but if you're able to do that and that ends up happening, that's going to be a big factor in getting that deal closed.
Yeah. Just a caveat on that, like 15 business days, not 15 actual days. So, I mean, 3 weeks, but yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think ultimately it just boils down to, again, having that conversation in the beginning, because if that's something you're trying to do, if you're trying to write that offer, I will tell you there's been times where we've gotten contracts that have those offers, but no conversation was had with the lender. Those are not always ideal situations, just for anybody out there listening. If you're a buyer, agent, whatever, like obviously, if that's something you want to do, like I think most lenders are going to be here to support that. You know, we're going to say, hey, absolutely. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's got to be set proper expectations at the beginning. Because, you know, what did I say, in my opinion, was one of the major things that is going to determine whether or not you're going to be able to get it done that quick. It's going to be the borrower themselves. And so the borrower may just be caught up in the excitement of, I got this contract accepted. They may not really recognize what truly that timeline looks like for them, because obviously maybe their first time homebuyers have never been through it before. And so I think it's important for the lender to reach out and say, hey, look, you know, we can do this, but this is going to require a lot of work from you. And it's going to require you to be like Johnny on the spot with this. Like it's going to, whenever documents are requested, like 24 hours, we need them. We need to be submitting them back, all of those sort of things. Because again, you can't go very far without the borrower cooperating. No matter what you put on the lender, like ultimately, you know, the lender can go as far as the borrower is willing to go as well. And like I said, we've had clients that are amazing. And, you know, it's as soon as you ask for something, it's done. We've had clients that drag their feet for, you know, 5 to 6 days waiting on stuff. So it really ultimately depends on those sort of things when doing that and structuring that.
Definitely. And obviously, as you should always have that conversation up front. So again, you have proper expectations. Everybody is on the same page moving forward and you know, how to get that goal achieved and get to the closing table. You got to have that for sure. But that's obviously in the scenario of multiple offers and kind of making an offer the best it possibly can be. Obviously, when you're offering with FHA and in a situation where you have a little bit more leverage, we talked about it on the seller concessions pod, but you have a little bit more room to ask for seller concessions on that front as well if you're going FHA. So a little bit more advantageous for the buyer on that front. So all in all, it really just depends, again, and we talked about it on our How to Make an Offer pod, but again, it just depends on your market situation around you, what's going on around you, and we're going to analyze that in that moment when you decide that you want to write an offer and kind of construct everything around those things, no matter what your loan type is. So all in all, just got to know the market situation and work with your agent diligently on that front before you make that offer and start working around your loan type there.
Yeah. Yep. I think my main takeaway is obviously, you know, no loan type really is off the table. You know, I know we talk about conventional, a lot of people do. I'm not going to pretend like there isn't obviously some advantages to going conventional, but I don't, you know, want people to listen to this and feel the main takeaway is that if I'm not a conventional buyer, I'm going to have a really hard time, you know, finding a house. You know, it's not really reality, to be honest with you. I mean, we get people in contract week over week who are conventional, who are FHA, you know, we even have some USDA, even some VA right now. So, you know, again, it's just about expectations and understanding that, yeah, some areas, some houses particular, you know, ultimately, like we talked about, it's a market in which you are allowed to negotiate whatever you want, but that's the same for the seller. They don't have to accept offers for certain loan types if they don't want to, but that doesn't mean there's no sellers out there that will accept those loan types. Some sellers are just like, I want this house sold. I don't care what the loan type is. You know what I mean? Is if it's going to get sold, if I'm going to get an offer, I'm not going to limit everybody. You know what I'm saying? Some people are a little bit more limited and they're okay to wait a little bit longer if that's what it takes. And other people are just like, I want this off my hands and I'm open to any loan type that this house will qualify for. So So yeah, the biggest takeaway is that ultimately is there's plenty of options out there. Don't feel like if you're a government-based loan program that, you know, you're at a disadvantage and you're not gonna be able to find a house. It's not reality. The government-based loan programs are still great. But if conventional is something you're looking for, that's obviously something you could work with your lender on, you know, the things that it would take in order to get you into that zone for conventional.
And just picking back off that as well, obviously, if you're a person that doesn't think that you can buy at this point, you know, there's probably a loan type out there for you as well, too. So just keep that in mind, too.
Yep. And if there isn't, if you're in a situation, you know, that's something we pride ourselves in here at Kaysen is, you know, I just talked with a client the other day who needs some credit repair. We have a great credit repair company that we work with who tries to get people, you know, turned around in 3 to 6 months. And, you know, if that's the situation holding you back or whatever it is, you know, we're not the type of people that just say, hey, you can't afford this house, you can't qualify, you know, hit the road and come back when you can. It's really more of an educational thing and taking pride in trying to actually help people understand and educate themselves on what it takes to actually buy a house. Cause I mean, we do believe that if that's something you want for yourself, then you should have access to that. You know, we try to be as educational as possible, which is obviously the whole point of closing the deal. And the reason this idea came about was to help educate you guys. So I hope you guys understand that Zach and I both are very passionate about that, even outside of closing the deal. If you ever had any questions or anything that you were looking at, pick up the phone, give us a call, you know, more than willing to work through those things with you.
Absolutely, brother. Couldn't have said it better myself. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Absolutely, man. Well, I think that's all for us. I think we covered it all.
I think that wraps us up for sure. Yeah. All in all, pretty good episode. Touched on some myths, busted some myths, talked about our loan types, and yeah, just all in all, felt like got a lot of value out this episode for sure.
100%. Well, guys, appreciate you all tuning in. This is like episode, like, I don't even know when it's going to drop, but we're encroaching on 20s now, which is just, it's just crazy. You know, we had a goal set out at the beginning of the year, you know, post one a week, and we've stayed very solid to that. We haven't missed a week yet. It's actually insane. And then you really start to think like, holy crap, we're already 20 weeks into the year. Like that's, you know, not only are we 20 episodes in, but we're 20 weeks in. Just it's flown by, but it's been a lot of fun and really enjoyed it. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate you guys, you know, yeah, listen to the pod. And if you guys feel like there's anybody out there, family members, friends, anybody who you feel like, you know, this content would benefit if they've had a conversation about buying a home and just are on the fence or don't know where to start, you know, feel free to share our content with them. We really appreciate that. You know, our growth at this point is all based on word of mouth. So if you guys would, you know, do us the great pleasure of sharing it with somebody, that would be very, very much appreciated.
Absolutely. In addition to the podcast episodes every week, you know, been doing the shorts on YouTube and Instagram reels and doing some of those things with our designated days, you know, our teaser Tuesdays, teasing the episodes and Wednesday word of the days, breaking down different words and this or that Thursdays. So a lot of different types of content out there and hopefully, you know, finding some value in all of the different avenues for sure. So really appreciate you guys tuning in, all of the support that you guys have shown for so far for sure.
Absolutely, guys. Well, that about wraps us. So we will catch you guys on the next episode.